The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Do you want the good news or do you want the bad news?
Bad, always bad.
What do you mean always bad?
No bad on Friday either. That's a rule of ours.
Gentlemen. We've got some good news and we've got some bad news. The good news is we found your Mercedes.
That's great news.
That's great.
Yeah, it's over at Impound right now.
No bad news on Friday?
No.
What do? You just hold it?
You wait till Monday.
Wait, so if I die, they can't tell you till Monday?
Yeah. Gabe's not going to be here today.
The bad news is we can't get you in front of a judge until Monday morning.
You stole a police car.
We didn't steal anything. We found it.
If anything, we deserve a reward or something, like a trophy.
But Monday. They'll tell me Monday morning in the
and
production
you'll be like,
meeting.
How did it happen? When did it happen? And we'll be like, well, it happened on Thursday.
But I see like you every day.
Every day.
Let's go to Vegas. We'll all get drunk in
Yeah.
the
Yeah. Woo-hoo!
Let's steal a cop car because it'll be really funny.
Yeah. Think you gonna get away with it? Not up in here.
Not up in here.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it.
Happy Festivus, everybody.
Is that what today is?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
the day before Christmas Eve.
Yeah, the 23rd. Always has been.
I didn't know that.
But now you do.
Now I do, and I have some grievances.
You should be able to celebrate your own holidays, too. Now you have to go on strike again from H&H.
Yes.
What is H&H?
Bagel. They're day old. Do you watch Seinfeld?
Yes, but I don't remember H&H.
It's a big
remember
part of
where he goes back to work and
it's a big part of the Festus Fist
drops
episode.
His gum in the bagel dough and
oh yes I remember that.
I've done that.
Dropped your gum
I did and
in
I never
bagel
found
dough.
It. No, not bagel
Thank
dough.
Thank you.
It was something else.
Well, what were you making?
I don't remember, but
did you start over? Or did you make everybody eat your gum bread?
I think I cut the section out.
You're not even sure it's bread.
Well, some sort of dough.
Pizza? Were you making pizza?
I can't remember what it was.
Dropped your gum in the pizza dough and then just were like, yeah.
That happens.
Just fold it in. Fold it in.
It's pretty common.
Be like at Mardi Gras when you find the king baby. Oh, you found Chewy's gum.
When's
you win a prize.
When's the last time you chewed gum?
The other day.
Yeah, a week ago.
If I have to interact
with
people.
When I ate too much garlic.
Yeah.
If I have to interact with people.
What?
People. When I talk to people, I want to
have
not
good breath.
Breathe
yeah.
garlic breath on them. Or halitosis. I don't think I have halitosis, but you know what I mean.
Like, just
I
in case.
I don't have bad breath.
What about mints? I think the whole chewing thing is kind of annoying. I'm just saying.
I've always been a gum over mint person, but you know, if you want to have some Tic Tacs,
really?
No more power to you.
Okay.
I can go either way, but I think
You're
gum has
me.
The more.
That's another Seinfeld reference.
I just assumed we were talking about my college days, but I feel like the gum has a more immediate effect. I feel like the mint has to sort of marinate in there and mix up with the saliva and then get to all corners of the mouth where the gum, it feels like, gets there quicker.
Yeah, but gum, the taste of gum is gone within like a minute.
Yeah, because it's in your mouth now.
I know, but they can't, and it's 2024. Can't gum have flavor all the way through until you discard it?
Kiss a little longer.
I mean, they've got the market pretty well cornered. I don't think they're looking at improving the product.
Here you go. Another invention that I'm going to get screwed on somewhere down the line. Am I right?
Wait, is it going to be gum that doesn't lose its flavor?
Yeah, like the Oompa Loom. Remember the everlasting Gobstopper?
Gobstopper, yes. Sure.
Well, interestingly enough, most of the gums that I chew, I don't remember the names of. You want to know the one gum I remember the name of?
Bubble Yum.
Fruit Stripe gum. You know what Fruit Stripe
terrible.
Gum was famous for, Gabe?
Losing its flavor in 2.5 seconds.
Immediately.
You know what was the best? Baseball card gum. Remember those days?
What do you mean by best?
You had to like let that gum sit there for a second, because if you started chewing it right away, I guarantee you were losing some molars. That's how firm that gum was.
Everyone loved it, though.
Because they love the baseball cards.
I know.
Not the gum.
Do you actually carry mints around with you?
In my truck.
I don't think I've ever seen you with a mint.
I don't need them a lot, because I brush.
Wait a minute. We brush too, buddy.
You got to brush the tongue, though. You ain't brushing the tongue. That's where the smell comes from. You know that. Please tell me you know
Roof of the mouth. Got to hit the tongue.
Nah, not the roof. Roof's fine. You know, there's nothing up there.
You know, I feel like might be able to help us out with this conversation. Adam Schefter, everybody. Adam Schefter joining us this morning at 7:05, because we're not going to get him later this week because it is the holiday. Adam, welcome into Jen, Gabe, and Chewy at an unusual hour. Happy Festivus to you, sir.
Happy holidays, happy Festivus, happy New Year, happy everything to everybody.
Do you have a grievance that you would like to share, the airing of grievances to celebrate Festivus this morning? We all got them. We're going to display them throughout the show. We're going to reveal them throughout the show this morning. But I just thought we would give you the opportunity, if you have a grievance you'd like to air, you can do it here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Well, that's very kind of you. I think I have a lot of grievances. I'd have to really sift through which one I'd want to air. But we all have a lot of grievances, right? I don't know which one I would publicize here. I'm trying to think here.
He's got to be very careful about which grievance he airs.
Yeah, any grievance is likely to result in a spat of some sort, and I'd want to avoid spats around the holiday time if we could do that.
It's fair.
Adam.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes, Joe.
Rank for me the rookie quarterbacks.
Whoa. Speaking of putting put on the spot.
Because I'm telling you what, Jaden Daniels is going to be a superstar. And well, I think Caleb Williams.
First time I've heard that all year.
I think Caleb Williams is going to be a bust. I really do.
Deep thinker over here.
I'll say this. People have been enamored with Jaden Daniels since last year. And I remember leading to the draft saying there were personnel people, there were teams, front office executives who felt like Jaden Daniels should be the number one quarterback pick. Like, that's not a new take. Like, people have felt that all along. And everything we've seen this year leads you to believe that Jaden Daniels is the real deal, and Caleb Williams still has questions to answer. And Caleb Williams has a lot of potential, but obviously he's going to still have to do some things here to close that ground and become the quarterback that everybody thinks he can be, which he hasn't yet. But the jury's still out there, right? And Jaden Daniels has looked great. He's looked like a superstar. Bo Nix has looked very good, very good, although I thought somebody described it pretty well the other night. The Denver Broncos have themselves like a nice, reliable Toyota Camry, and they're in a division where there's a couple of Lamborghinis in Kansas City and Los Angeles. And that's the issue that they'll have to overcome, and we'll see what happens with that. But Bo Nix has played well.
You watched Penix yesterday?
I watched a little of them. It felt like they were trying to kind of keep things short, controlled, right? Manage him and not kind of let him open things up initially. That's what it felt like. You know, that move to me is just so bold.
Yeah.
And we talked about it on Sunday Countdown, because this is a guy that hasn't practiced with the first team all year. And now you're turning over the team's playoff hopes to him. Now, by the way, it's worked out great so far, because the Buccaneers lost last night. They won. And now the Falcons are back in control of their own destiny, where if they win the next two games, they'll win the division. But they got a tough game Sunday night, and that's a great matchup on Sunday Night Football again. Atlanta at Washington, with two rookie quarterbacks in that game.
How much do you have a feel for Detroit, even with all the injuries? I mean, they played Chicago yesterday. Seems like they're going to be in the driver's seat. I know we've talked about this before, Adam, in terms of how many injuries they've had, but they seem like they were able to weather the storm and you know, after taking a week to kind of reset after losing some of the guys they lost. If you watched that game yesterday, granted it was against the Bears, they still looked like the team that they had all season long.
You know, listen, I'm not trying to detract from them. They have been probably the best team in football throughout the course of the year. They've been impressive. And I know people in Wisconsin don't want to see it, but like, it would be a pretty cool story if the Lions won the Super Bowl. Like, that would be unbelievable. I know nobody there wants to see it. I got it. But I'm just telling you, that would be kind of crazy. That right now, what's amazing is they've lost so much talent. There are 15 players on the defensive side of football, 15 on IR. There are 6 players that were on their opening day defense that are now on IR. 6. Take 6 starters off any defense and put them on IR and see how that defense would do. Now, again, I think you can go in Chicago decisively. The question I have is, what happens when you play Green Bay in the playoffs? What happens when you play Philadelphia in the playoffs? What happens when you play some of these other teams in the playoffs and you're missing some of these guys? Not going to be as simple to overcome, but they could be at home. And if they're at home and the offense can perform like that, I think that they're thinking, you know what? Okay, we're not as good on defense. We take that as a challenge. We'll grind through this and we'll outscore people now. And that's what they're going to have to do here down the stretch.
Adam Schefter hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, usually on a Wednesday, but this week on a Monday. I saw the Myles Garrett news that he wants to stay in Cleveland, and yet it's contingent on the Browns giving him an indication that they will have a winning team in the near future. That feels like a long shot, Adam, from the outside looking in. Is there a chance that Myles Garrett will be on a different team?
Well, I mean, they're not going to sit down and say, Miles, we hate to break it to you, but we're not going to be able to field a winner here. Like, that's like, I know our history. I know we've struggled. I know it hasn't been exactly what you bargained for, but yeah, we're not going to be able to do this. So we're going to trade you. Like, there is no way that they're going to want to trade him, be interested in trading him. And the only way in my mind that he would be traded, no matter what they say to him about that situation, would be is if he forced the issue. How far does he want to push that? And maybe what they say to him will help determine that. Because if he says, hey, I'm not going to show up, I'm not going to be there, and he makes it ugly, like, they're not going to want that either. But he'd have to go hard line. And if you go hard line, as we've seen in this league, you can get some things done. But it takes a strong stomach. It takes some financial commitment because you're going to lose some money. It takes some thick skin because you're going to have that city and that fan base, wherever it is, rip you all the time. So there's a lot you have to go through. And is that worth it to him? Is that worth it? Or does he want to be one of these guys that's a hero like Joe Thomas for staying with his team the whole time? And those are the decisions he has to make. I don't know what he's going to decide. I think he's showing you there that at least he's mulling the idea, hey, you know, what would life on the other side look like for me? And I'm not telling you he'll get there, but obviously the thought has crossed his mind.
What's your feeling on tonight's game, Adam? Is there any way New Orleans could pull an upset? I mean, I got Green Bay blowing them out.
That's what I would expect. The chance I give New Orleans is that it's the NFL, and every week we see something that we didn't expect. But, I mean, Green Bay should be handily taking care of business, and the Packers clinch a playoff spot if they win tonight. So if they win tonight, they're in. So they should get that done and be in the postseason by the start of Christmas.
Well, speaking of things you've never seen before, have you ever heard of a team holding walkthroughs in a freezer to get ready for a game? Because that's apparently what the Saints did to try to get ready for the cold temperatures in Green Bay. We had Mike McDaniel a couple of weeks ago saying he was throwing ice cubes at his guys. I know he was joking around, but I mean, it seems like teams are trying to get desperate, figuring out ways when you're in a warm weather place to get accustomed to the cold.
Well, I think that he's talked about all the various ways that he's the quarterback coach who did this, that he's tried to prep his players. And he saw some movie where there was a scene where they did something cool running, where they did something like this, you know, practice running in the cold. And, it's a fun storyline. It's not going to change anything tonight. You know, Spencer Rattler still has to go in there and play good football. How cold is it there tonight?
It's not going to be that bad. I mean, probably 20s. But there's snow, right? I thought I saw
potentially up there. Green Bay, yeah, there's going to be snow before the game. Round kickoff is going to be 32.
Yeah. It's bitter cold on the East Coast right now. Like, it is the coldest it's been so far this season. So Green Bay is going to be balmy compared to the East Coast tonight.
Adam, do you have your grievance? Anything that's safe to say on the air?
Jen's coming back to the grievance.
I got into a fight in a parking lot yesterday, so that's going to be my grievance, is parking lot etiquette, but I am going to save it for a little bit later in the show. Adam, between you, between me and the other person, who would you put your money on?
Oh, Jen. Every time, I'm putting my money on you against Chewy. I'm putting my money on you against Gabe. I'm putting my money on you every time there, Jen.
You're very good at making people cry.
That's true. Yeah, you know what? That's a very true statement. I guess I'm just wondering about the game tonight, if the Packers will get out to a good lead and then pack it in a little bit. You know, like, because again, the big goal for tonight is get out of there healthy. You know, you're taking on a team that doesn't have a lot of fight in it. Put some points up on the board early and then pack it in. Let your backups come in, get some run. Go ahead.
You're bringing up a great scenario. The truth of the matter is, if they can get to that point, they would love that. There aren't a lot of teams that get to that in this league. Like, I mean, you're trying to give them time off tonight, and they're not even thinking like that. They're just trying to put the game away and make sure that they win the game. So if somehow they got to the third quarter and up a few touchdowns and they could take their foot off the gas a little bit, that'd be ideal. But all they're thinking about, they got a job to go out there and get that win secure for 60 minutes. I don't think anybody thinks like that. Hey, we'd like to get our guys rest. I don't think they're thinking like that tonight, Jim.
All right, Adam. Well, we appreciate you hanging out with us today. Happy Festivus to you. Enjoy the holidays with your family. You have been an absolute joy to work with this year.
Is today actually Festivus?
Yes, it is. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, December 23rd. Mark your calendar every year.
I didn't realize that. That's interesting. Okay, well.
Get your aluminum pole ready.
Wait, hold on. Before I let you go, we did find a little cheat code, a little cheat sheet. Hold on. I'm going to pull it up. It's in the social media. It's in the text chain. What is your birth month?
December.
December. Oh, did you just have a birthday?
Yes, I did.
Happy birthday. What is your birth date?
December 21.
Oh, my goodness. Like, so your birthday was like 2 days ago, Adam?
Jen, you're very good at math.
And what is the last digit of your birth year?
6.
So your Festivus grievance, according to this Seinfeld TV grievance generator, is the valet is hiding under a desk and it's making me look bad. That's your Seinfeld grievance generator for December 21st. With a 6. Oh, you said 6 at the end, didn't you? Man, all those compliments you gave me a moment ago, you're going to have to take them away. I'm suddenly nauseous is the back end. The valet is hiding under a desk, and I'm suddenly nauseous. So there you go. Look at all the interesting stuff we teach you here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
As I was mulling my grievances, I have to admit that was not one, but I was.
Seems safe to let that one out in the world, then. Yeah.
All right, Adam. Have a great week, sir. We will talk to you again very soon.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you next week, guys.
We love having Adam Schefter on the show, Gabe.
Adam Schefter each and every week brought to us by the Island Resort and Casino, a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Unbelievable that they ran all over this vaunted defense, this elite defense.
What Kool-Aid?
Why? It was poop Kool-Aid. And we gobbled it down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I, for one, appreciate the control that Adam Schefter showed on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning when we tried to bait him into giving us a grievance in celebration of Festivus. We don't have that sort of, what do you call it?
Discipline.
Self-control.
All of those things. So we will give you our grievances as the morning goes on. Chef Ed already weighing in with his. My number one grievance is overpaid athletes who don't play because of a little boo-boo like Jair Alexander. I'm 66. I still work hard in the kitchen at work. Merry Christmas to all of you. Gabe, what is the update on Jair Alexander?
It's questionable.
So, not going to play. If history is any indication, Chew, again, I don't know that for sure. I'm just saying, you know, that sort of has been the book on him.
My guess, sloppy field tonight, should win without him. My guess is he won't play and they'll wait till Minnesota.
He's more important for you against Minnesota.
Yeah.
I personally would hold him out, and hopefully he's ready to go against the Vikings.
Get us your grievances this morning, 800-990-3776. Again, we will go through ours as the show goes on. Game is tonight, Packers versus Saints. Feels a bit like a formality. The line on this one, guys, 14.5. The total over-under, Chew, 42.5. I would imagine the Packers would have to do most of that work themselves, right? If you took the over on that, you'd be expecting the Packers to go up over 35, and maybe the Saints stumble into a few points here or there, maybe a field goal, maybe, you know, like, this is not an offense that is adept at scoring points. 5-9 this year. They have a lot of players that they are without headed into this game. I have said, I think the goal is just to get healthy, or I mean, not get healthy, stay healthy. Don't suffer any egregious injuries that put you behind the eight ball as the season goes on.
I'd still like to see him step on the throat. And Gabe, you brought that up for the last couple of weeks. They kind of pull the dogs off and then just glide their way into a win. I would like to see them just go out and dominate, air it out. You know, if you can pull guys early, like Josh Jacobs, if you're up by 17-0, there's no need for him to play, right? Even if he wants to play, who cares? Let's just keep him healthy like they did with Aaron Jones last year and get ready for the big push.
Yeah. I want Joe Buck and Troy Aikman telling stories halfway through the third quarter. I want this thing. Let's put this thing to bed early, leave no doubt, and send everybody to bed early tonight.
So you would be okay seeing Malik Willis in there. You would be okay seeing some of the other backups in there, even though it doesn't really help the team, again, to the point of stay healthy, don't get injured, don't be in when you don't need to be in.
If the game dictates it, absolutely.
But the thing they have to be careful about is, because New Orleans is playing for nothing, fake punts, gadget plays, bringing seven guys. You know, that's what you have to kind of be careful about. Because, like, they got nothing to play for. They're just going to let it all hang out, and they just have to be disciplined from that standpoint.
Granted, it was a home game for them, but they're still showing fight. They should have and had a very good opportunity to beat Washington, who just beat Philadelphia last week.
Mm-hmm.
So the Saints aren't laying down for anybody. They're not very talented. All of their very talented players are out tonight, but they do have some fight in. The way you take that out is by jumping up 14, 17, something like that.
So, Chew, I want to talk to you about the game plan then, because Josh Jacobs, obviously, we expect to be, continue to be, a big part of the offense. Would you like for this to be sort of an off night for him? By off, I don't mean he's off. He's not doing what he normally does. But like, hey, man, we should win this game handily. Let's give you the night so that you can be fresh and at 100% as we get into the final stretch of the regular season and head into the playoffs.
I would start the game like they have the last couple, heavy Josh Jacobs. But like I said, if they got the game in control, there's no need for him to play. What I really want to see is them really tune up the passing game. I'd like to see it. Over 350 throwing, because you should be able to do it against this team, depending on the weather. So if it's snowy and sloppy, obviously that's gonna limit you in some aspects of your game plan. But let's just go out, and this should be a 42-10 type game. It should be.
Leave
that's
no
what
doubt.
I predicted.
42-10.
That's the over. Just so you know.
Yeah.
42-10 feels aggressive.
Does it though? I mean, they're
I guess what's the point of winning by 32?
It's fun.
To stack success, right? Show that you can do it, right? We know they can go 50-50 and be effective, but you're going to have to win a shootout somewhere along the line in
but
the
But I
playoffs.
Don't think
they ain't
it.
Yeah, but in showing that, to me, you just continue to run the football tonight. Like, that's how you win. That's how this team wins. I understand where you're coming from of, hey, at some point, this passing game, if you're in a shootout, like, you're going to have to be efficient. Like, the only way you know if you can survive a shootout is if you find yourself in a shootout. And the only game that's shootout potential is next week at Minnesota.
Yeah.
Like, going out there and just throwing the ball to throw it against New Orleans, I don't think proves, like, oh, well. I mean, he threw for 330 against the Saints. Clearly, he's ready for the high pressure. You know, you're exchanging blows against the Lions in an NFC championship game.
Because Minnesota, next week, they're playing for that bye.
Yep.
They're playing for the bye. You know? So they're going to be ready to go. They're going to air it out. They're going to do this. They're going to do that, because if they do beat Green Bay, they play Detroit the next week, and that's for all the marbles.
Yeah, I think vanilla. I think be as vanilla as you can be at this point in the season. Don't show them anything. Don't put anything on tape that the Vikings could then scheme for, the Vikings could prep for when you face them. That's a bigger game than this is.
Oh,
you know, as far as the long term, I think that...
I mean, but honestly, they're all big for Green Bay. I mean, if you want to avoid if you want to avoid that seven spot, you got to win them all.
And seven is a real thing.
Okay, so like, I guess that brings me to this thing, Gabe. Is there any part of you that thinks that they might lose tonight?
No. But again, if you go into this game like we got it, man, that's when teams lose. That's when the unexplainable happens. That's when you lose to the Giants and Tommy DeVito. That's when you lose to the Indianapolis Colts, even though you're 12-3 or whatever you guys were going into that game. Like, going, oh, yeah, we got this. Like, no, you've got to go in there and you've got to put, you got to foot on the accelerator all the way through. Like, no easing off, letting them back into the game because you're, oh, we've got this in the bag. Like, you've got to come out and you just have to assert your dominance from the word go.
Because there's a good chance you lose to Minnesota, you're getting the 7 seed. Because Washington has Atlanta and they have Dallas. Dallas won their big game last night, right? Would have been better if they lost. But even though Philly lost yesterday, mainly because Hurts was down and Pickett's not that good, but I don't want to go to Philly out of the gate.
Couldn't stop a leaky faucet.
What does that mean?
Their defense.
Whose?
Phillies.
They gave up 36 points.
Yeah. Yeah, they were bad. That's bad. That's bad. They're probably thinking it's a reset game because you heard Campbell talking about it in his press conference when they lost to Buffalo. He's like, all right, that's a reset game. And there is some truth to that. You know, our reset was, and I told it a million times, when we went to St. Louis against a terrible team and we're tied at halftime. That's a reset. So
do you want to see Malik Willis in the game tonight?
Yeah.
Because that would mean that they had enough of a lead where they feel confident throwing in the white towel, you know, waving the white towel, rather, throwing in the towel and saying, we got this one. We got out healthy. Our guys are good. Go in there, Willis, and see what you can do. We have Dave weighing in. Dave from Aaron. I hope we do get to see Willis coming in the third due to a lead, and maybe I can go to bed early. LOL.
Yep, exactly. Send everybody, give everybody a great Christmas present and have them well rested going into Christmas Eve.
Just go to bed.
That's to say.
I'm going to bed.
Chewy's going to bed in the third quarter.
Don't
regardless.
Worry. I'll stay up for you, bud.
Although today is really a Thursday.
What?
Help her out, please.
Chat.
So
it's a Thursday.
Because we're off the 25th, so tomorrow is a Friday.
Oh, so tomorrow's your Friday.
Over. Yeah.
Got it.
So I can stay up a little later. There's no blammer. That's out.
Oh, you got him in trouble, did you?
I don't know. I gave him presents. Depends what he did with those presents.
Those presents might not be a present for everyone in the house.
Exactly. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh.
Not after 4 hours.
We got some grievances rolling in here, guys. I will get to those as the morning goes on. But Dumpy says, my grievance is that Jen and Gabe treat my texts with racist, anti-dumpetic prejudice. Well, is it racist, Dumpy, or is it anti-dumpetic? It can't be both. If Chewy were running the board, my text would get read all the time.
Here's the thing, Dumpy. I've seen your texts. Can't read them all. Can't read them all on the air.
And speaking of can't read, Chewy, everybody.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Let me tell you about our good friends at the Ewald Automotive Group. It's the year-end rate reduction sales event going on right now at the Ewald Automotive Group. So what does that mean? You can get rates as low as 4.9% on their best used cars and make no payments for 90 days. 4.9% no payments till March 2025 on over 600 vehicles at 10 Ewald Automotive Group locations. Don't wait to get a better rate during the year-end reduction sales event. It's going on now, so get to your nearest Ewald location today. You learn more, and it's always easy at ewaldauto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm going to go with the corn dog, the old corn dog. The corn dog for the birthday.
Pierogies and borscht all day long.
That's just crazy. Nobody likes borscht, let alone
God,
on their
it's
birthday.
So good. It's the only thing that makes my mouth water. Other than my wife.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Yeah.
asked your grievances this morning. How do you want the Packers to handle tonight's game against the Saints? They are 14.5-point favorites, and it feels like an unfair fight. But it also feels like a good opportunity for the Green Bay Packers to go out there and show that they are one of the top teams in the NFC. And we have lamented as the season has gone on about how we haven't seen four full quarters from this team. Well, you can't really demand four full quarters from the team tonight if you also are in the camp of get up early, put it away, get your starters on the bench, get your backups out there.
I want a full 2.5 quarters. Because that's what you should do against a team like this. A team that is practicing in a freezer to get ready for you. All right, put them away early. Make them. I want them to continuously cut to the sideline and have Spencer Rattler standing there looking like he's miserable and cold. Because you jump up to a 14-0 lead. Because you're up 21-0 and you are driving for another touchdown before the end of the first half. Like I just put them away, leave no doubt, and then start getting ready for Minnesota in the actual big game next week.
Chew, did you ever play games like this where you were double digit, you know, more than two?
Yeah.
Not that one.
Where we were, well,
any other game.
Well, there was this little game in San Diego that we were 12-point favorites and crapped on our leg. There's that
what
one.
What happened? Tell us what to warn against.
I mean, I don't want to blame people, but there was a lot of talk of Holmgren moving to his next job. Practice certainly wasn't as focused as it was in New Orleans. Overconfident. Just things like that.
I mean, that's a different scenario because that was a Super Bowl team. Maybe you guys weren't as hungry, but
just
like,
not as hungry.
What happened? Know? Let's go back to 96. What happened? Why were you guys tied with St. Louis, who was a terrible team in 1996 at halftime? You talk about that being the reset game for you guys after you guys got after it at halftime and then you blew out and the rest is history. But why you guys had lost two in a row? Why did you struggle against St. Louis, who you were light years better than?
Feeling sorry for ourselves. We knew we were good, but we lose two in a row because we were banged up. I was out. Free was out. One other person was out. Offense, which hurts, you know, but after two losses, you pout and you're going into a place where, like this, probably were favored by 10 and thought all you had to do was show up. And play. You can't just show up and expect to win. You have to put some work in, and that's the problem. I don't see that happening tonight. I don't see it. Because they haven't played, like you said, great football yet. There hasn't been a game like, that was just domination. And that's what I would expect tonight. There's two important things tonight. Obviously, win the game and get out of there healthy. Right? And I always am a little leery of sloppy, slick surfaces because that's where you get, you know, your pulls, your hamstring, overextend, you know, on the field. So those are the two biggest things. Because they've stayed very healthy so far, we don't need injuries to players that we're just going to have in order to get where they want to get to.
Jordan Love has a passer rating of over 100 or better in five straight games. Gabe, does he run it up to 6 tonight?
Toyota-thon's still going on, right?
Yes.
All right, then. Yep.
To January I'm going with 6th or something like that, right?
I am going. I don't know.
I mean, this should be the playoffs.
This should be a 4-touchdown game
for Jordan.
For Jordan.
Or Josh Jacobs has a bunch.
You being a stat padding guy has really thrown me for a loop here. I can't make sense of it.
Why? You want to pad your stats in, you know? This is a first 15 where you get ticked off like, you got one in the first 15. This is bull.
In the same scenario, if this was last year, you'd be like, well, they were just stat padding there at the end. They've blown out a team that was much better. It feels like...
See, here's where you still have things to learn, Josh. Chewy is very good at playing both sides. Mm-hmm. He's very good at it. He's very good at, you know, trying to be able to manipulate something so then he comes out on top. You obviously, I mean, you're learning. You're doing a good job of learning from the master. There's still a lot to learn, though.
Yeah, see, I want to do this, Joshy, you know, and only the people. I want to make you watch this and then punch you right in the balls. That's what I want you to do. Hey, look at my finger here. Look at these. Yee, yee. Am
show
I
us
right?
How you do it. Look in that camera over there and show us exactly.
Yeah,
how you...
Bam! Remember, the first guy never gets caught.
I'm glad we got there.
Never gets caught. Yeah, I'm done.
Merry Christmas to all.
All you, Jen.
Take it away.
It's so true, though.
I got some Jordan Love player props. let's see. Jordan Love throws for 246 yards per game, 15.6 more than his over under on Monday. I guess this is a trend. This is a trend or something. What is Jordan Love averaging? Do you have Jordan Love's stats up there, Gabe? What is he averaging per game right now?
Jordan Love per game right now is 246.1.
Okay, so that's what that number is. 246.1 is his average on the season. 15.6 more than his over-under on Monday. Would you take the over or take the under?
I am taking the under because I think the Packers are going to blow him out, and I don't think he's going to be playing four quarters to be able to get those padded stats that Chewy is hoping for.
I actually really like that as well. I'm just trying to look for, here we go. I couldn't find the props. So yeah, the passing yard was 230.5. Rushing yards is over 5.5. Do you like the rushing yard prop for Jordan Love? Over 5.5?
I mean, he's basically just taking off and scrambling once. I don't know. I
didn't
avoid
hit
it
last week.
Yeah, I would take the
I don't
under.
Know that for any particular reason.
Sure you don't.
just randomly happen to have that one in your head?
Yeah, logged that one away.
Remember the box score. Oh, Jordan Love didn't have
it
five rushing yards.
It was 4 yards.
I don't know what the player prop is on interceptions. I'd guess it was 1.5. I'm guessing on that. Do you think Jordan Love throws an interception? It might even be a half.
Yeah, my guess is it would just be a half. I will say no. The interceptionless streak continues. Because okay. He's done, the one thing he's done a very good job of, and we talked about it when it happened, because he had the interception against Chicago. First interceptionless game was against San Francisco. But there were still a couple of throws where it's like, those guys catch the ball. Those would have been more picks. But against Miami, Detroit, and Seattle, he has done a very good job of not even having those throws where he has kept the ball out of harm's way, where at no point in those games did you think that the ball could potentially be intercepted.
Reaction rolling in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. Nobody is talking about how the Packers owned the Seahawks and the Vikings barely beat the Seahawks. I'm feeling good about next week's matchup. That from Jamie
you can't
in
play
Orlando.
That game. You can't play that game. You can't play that game because then you go, well, look at the Lions. They blew out the Bears and Packers won't beat them.
If you want to play that game, we can play that game of, well, the Saints could have beaten the you know, the Commanders last week who just beat the Eagles who beat the Packers earlier this season.
Yeah.
Transitive properties.
Yeah, it's not really a thing.
Nick in the 414 says, I want to see the Packers postgame show start in the third quarter. Craig weighing in saying, we got to keep Jordan clean and healthy. Cam Jordan and Chase Young are going to play with nothing to lose tonight. And Alan in the 414 weighing in says, sounds like it's going to be a let the Saints hang around and only win by five kind of night. I hope you're wrong, Alan.
What are the rules? Do we know, Joshy, what the rules are for Tausch to be able to start the postgame show early?
Homer tried to instill some sort of rules. It's like 14 points under a certain amount of minutes. But really, and this is quite nuanced, it's when Tausch decides.
So he's literally...
We're familiar with that.
He has started,
like when Chewy decides.
Yeah, but he started the pregame show while the game is still going on?
He wants to have a game where him and Homer start the postgame show before the game is even over.
I think it's a great idea.
Of course you would.
I think it's a great idea.
Because you get the same thing. You get to go home earlier.
You're still putting in the work. Am I right?
You're still
putting in the work.
Taking liberties with that word, aren't you, buddy? Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. The hotel is ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee. With deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music, you'll enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
363.
What's that?
Number of yards they gave up on the ground against the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's a Bible verse, John 3:63. Look it up. Tell us what it says.
I thought it was Joe 3:63, and it was, thou shalt not get past me on the line of scrimmage.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Festivus to all who celebrate. It is that time where we annually air our grievances.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
And so we begin with Gabe Neitzel, whose grievance this weekend, I believe, comes from the college football space.
Can we just not pretend that every college football playoff game is just an indictment on everything that's ever happened in the history of college football?
Nope.
Guess what? Blowouts happen. They've happened forever in college football. They've happened at an alarming rate, and yet here we are, a bunch of idiots, expecting this to be any different. Matt LaPay, voice of the Badgers, did a great job tweeting this out on Saturday, that during the 14 playoff era, 30 games were played, obviously the two semifinals and the championship game every year. 14 of those 30 were decided by 20 points or more, including 5 of the 10 championship games. Each of these teams earned their way in. They earned their way in. And just because Indiana lost 27-10 to Notre Dame, everybody was up in arms. Oh, Indiana's blow. Oh, SMU, they don't belong there. And then yet, oddly, everybody fell silent when Tennessee got their doors absolutely blown off by Ohio State. Like, no, man, like the teams earned their way in. If you want to play with the seeding, I'll listen to that. If you want to decide, hey, Boise State, Arizona State, they don't deserve to have byes even though they're conference champions. They only get into the field because of a conference championship. I will certainly listen to that to try to get these games better. But let's not pretend that Alabama would have done any better. That's a team that lost by 21 to a bad Oklahoma team, all right? Like, all of these teams are flawed. There are only a handful of teams that are actually good, and blowouts have been a tradition in the playoff for a long time. We just need to accept that and not pretend that everything's an indictment on everything that's ever happened in the history of college football. Feinbaum, Lane Kiffin suddenly went silent when their SEC team in Tennessee just couldn't hang and showed that they couldn't hang with Ohio State.
The very best place to be in this morning and yesterday was an Alabama team, a South Carolina team, an Ole Miss team, because you can sit there and you can claim the injustice. We were left out. Who's to say they would have done any better? Gabe, I'm with you. I completely believe in and subscribe to disqualifying losses. That loss to Oklahoma, where you scored 3 points, guys, was a disqualifying loss. Maybe you would have done better out there. Maybe you would have held your own in the field. But there's no guarantee.
Oh.
There's no guarantee that Alabama or South Carolina or Ole Miss go out there and put on a more competitive game.
Ask anyone from the SEC. They clearly would have won those games, Jen, because teams from the SEC, I believe now, are 122-0 in hypothetical matchups. They've never lost a single one. It's unbelievable. Undefeated. Never lost.
How about a qualifying win?
Like what? Give me an example.
Indiana? SMU? Give me a qualifying win. Okay? Because if we sit here and you go, if SMU played at Penn State.
Is out.
If SMU played at Penn State 10 times, how many times is SMU winning? 2, probably. If Alabama plays at Penn State, they're winning 5.
No, they're not.
They're winning 5.
No,
they're, and that's how
no,
I look
you're
at
doing
it.
That because you think they're Alabama and they're like this brand name team. I guarantee you, if Alabama had the exact same resume as Indiana, you're going, oh yeah, they're Alabama.
No,
of course they belong.
I'm not
in.
Looking at
they
it
don't
from
have a qualifying...
an Alabama. I'm looking at it from a James Franklin standpoint who's never won a big game in his life.
Well, that's not true anymore. He's 1-0 in the playoffs. He's undefeated in the playoffs.
You're calling SMU a big win?
It's a playoff
game. We all knew that was going to happen.
First ever playoff game. No. A lot of people were already... See,
what
this
was...
is the thing that college football people also like to do. Like, oh, it's James Franklin. Clearly he's going to lose that game. A lot of people picked SMU in the upset there. And then when Penn State blows him out, oh, well, SMU didn't belong there in the first place. Like, okay, what is it? You got to pick one or the other. Either James Franklin stinks or SMU
Look,
stinks.
At the end of the day, guys, it's an inexact science.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and my thing is, like, all these people who are criticizing, you pick them.
But next what's
year,
a more comfortable car?
What?
Alabama's a more comfortable car. SMU, you're like,
explain,
I don't
please.
Know if this thing. Well, no one picked SMU to win this game.
That's not true, man. That's just not true.
Well, then they're dumb.
But again, to Gabe's point, the explanation for why people were picking SMU was because they didn't have faith in James Franklin. I believe it was Stu Gatz from the Dan Le Batard Show who said, if Penn State is winning a playoff game, you have too many playoff games. Now, tongue in cheek.
Yeah, yeah.
But the point is, he doesn't think that that team, and I got to be honest with you guys, that offense is not impressive. And you could tell me all whether
Penn State, yeah,
oh, it hasn't been.
I agree.
That defense has been good. That's the only thing good
correct.
About that team.
And again, you guys know where I stand on that, right? I've banged this drum when it comes to baseball. There should not be only one way to win. You don't have to be an offensively dominant team to win. That's why I struggled when they were removing the shift in baseball. What if you're a defensive team? What if that is your bread and butter? What if that's how you win games? But I digress. I am not convinced that Penn State is a great team, and yet they won that game, and yet they're moving on. And the tricky part now is they play Boise State. And if they beat Boise State, people will be like, well, of course they beat Boise State.
Yeah.
Boise State didn't belong in the postseason. And if they lose to Boise State, what will they say, Gabe?
Well, yeah, James Franklin stinks.
So what's bigger to you, a signature win or a devastating loss?
But you're beholden to the schedule so much, right? Indiana did everything that was asked of them except lose that game to Ohio State. And they lost in dramatic fashion, right? Like, I was at that game. That was...
Guess what they did, though? Hung more than Tennessee did.
What was Indiana's big win? They didn't have one.
But again, that's not their fault. When conferences are this large, Chew,
yeah.
You can't play everybody.
You can't play everybody.
No, I know.
And somebody's going to have an easy schedule. Like, that's just the way it is.
I agree,
When you decide to chase the money... And you decide that the money's the most important thing, not competitive balance, not any of that. Money's the most important thing, which is fine. Then you're going to have these mega conferences and teams are going to have easy schedules.
Yeah. So Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin were running their mouths about not being there. They lost to a 4-win Kentucky.
You know who
didn't lose to a 4-win team? SMU. They beat an 18th-ranked Pittsburgh. They beat a 22nd-ranked Louisville. They beat California, Virginia. Like, they beat all these teams that have way more wins. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Well, and that is the next layer of it is going to be how much separation has the SEC/Big Ten put between themselves and all the other conferences.
But look, Alabama beating Georgia is enough for me. It's enough.
So you can show you can do it.
Why don't you chalk that up to a bad day for Georgia?
Sure.
Okay, so Vanderbilt, because they beat Alabama, they should be in too?
No. No, it only works the way I want it to work.
See, there it is. There's the both sides thing again.
I just tell you this, guys. They're waking up in Bloomington yesterday, happy as can be. You know why? Because they were in the 12-team mm-hmm. playoff after being an irrelevant program for decades and decades. They shot to the top of people's consciousness and, oh, by the way, earned $4 million in the process by being one of the 12 playoff teams. They are thrilled in Bloomington. Would they have liked to have shown up better? Would they have liked to have won? Sure. But baby steps. There's nothing that anyone is complaining about in Bloomington, Indiana this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got more playoff games. Several more rounds, actually, before we crown a champion on January 20th. Not that anyone's counting down that date at all. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. More grievances to air as the morning goes on. Happy Festivus, everybody.